In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. So today we're talking about baptism. Pretty much baptism in any universal church, apostolic church, if you're not baptized first thing, like you cannot pretty much participate in any of the other sacraments in the church. Yeah, you can attend, not sure what's like in the Catholic, I think it's the same, but can you attend church in the Catholic Church? Like just attend, but not I have communion.
Yeah, so you can't participate in any of the other sacraments as well.
Yeah, but you can attend. Like, you can just attend.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So it's pretty much the same. If you are not baptized, then you cannot pretty much, you can't participate in the liturgy. Sorry, you can't have communion after liturgy. You can't receive unction of the sick. You can't be crowned in the Orthodox Church. You can't be a priest. You can't. What are the other sacraments? You can't receive an absolution after confession. Yeah, you can seek spiritual advice, but you cannot do any of that stuff. So the baptism is really the gateway into Orthodox Christianity or any apostolic church like the Catholic Church, for example. It is the door to the kingdom of God. As Christ himself says in John chapter 3, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." It's very clear from Christ, from the mouth of Christ himself. And if you go before that in the Gospel of Mark, very early in the Gospel, I'm not sure if it was Mark, but in one of the Gospels, Mark, was it John? I can't remember. But Christ himself was actually baptized. And we have a beautiful icon here. It shows that he was baptized by the hands of John. And he came to John. John said, "I can't do this. I can't baptize you." But he said, "No, you need to baptize me." And he accepted the baptism and was baptized. Did Christ need to be baptized? No, probably not. Yeah, but he did it as an example for us. Yeah, and we'll talk about, we're going to take a little kind of historical approach to what baptism is in the early church. Baptism as Orthodox, as Christians, really any Christian, is death and resurrection with Christ. We participate in the death and resurrection. As St. Paul says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life." So we are buried with him, we rise with him, but also when we rise, we walk into a new life. Yeah? And as Christians being baptized, they are accepting a new life in Christ. Yeah? They put on Christ and they walk with him. In Romans, this is Romans chapter 6, verse 36. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of resurrection, of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves of sin." So we forget our past life, especially adult baptisms. Normally when they are baptized, they forget their past life, and they move into, and you'll hear some amazing stories of adult baptisms, and you'll find that when they actually are baptized, that their life actually changed. There was one priest, I remember from Melbourne, he was baptizing an adult, and from Sydney. As he was immersed in the water, he saw black leaving his body, and he didn't want to be raised from the baptistry. It just shows you how strong this baptism is. Yeah. In the Coptic tradition, there are some titles and typologies of baptism. I added two titles and two typologies. One of the titles of baptism is the washing of the new birth or the second birth, and we use this washing of the new birth in the actual rites of baptism, as you have bestowed. This is in the fraction in the liturgy of Epiphany. Epiphany is also the feast of where Christ was baptized. Yeah, "as you have bestowed upon us the grace of sonship through the washing of rebirth and renewing of the Holy Spirit." And in the Basil liturgy, "the birth from on high through water and spirit." This is also the words of Saint Basil himself. Justin Martyr, who was a second and third century saint, So when we talk about the dates here are important because it shows how close they were to the apostles and how close they were to the time of Christ. Justin Martyr lived, I think, 150 to 200. So very close, yeah? And the apostles had been around 60 AD, 60 to 80. St. Paul around that time as well. So he says something nice in his one of his writings, and this washing is called illumination. As those who learn these things are illumined in the mind, and he called it the water of life. We have in the Coptic tradition some typologies. Typologies are, for example, types, a figure, an image, a copy of something that prefigures something or somebody, yeah? So the typologies of baptism, we have heaps of them, yeah? But I only chose two, famous ones that we read in the Old Testament, New Testament, yeah? In the Old Testament, we have the crossing the Red Sea. You know, there's a nice icon actually in the left, in the right side, on the top of Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. This is a type of baptism, yeah? They fled evil and crossed and were saved. And the evil enemies like Pharaoh and the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea, yeah? You, God, split the fountains and the valleys. You looked at the Red Sea with your awesome power and dried it up for the Israelites to cross. And by Moses, you baptized them all. This is from the Coptic baptism prayer. In the New Testament, in John chapter 5, we read of the pool where the paralyzed man, who for 38 years been paralyzed, and he stayed by the pool and he had no one to put him in. You know that story, obviously. And we read it in Great Lent as well. The pool which was stirred by the angel and granted healing to those who were sick. And this one and a few of the early church fathers, Tertullian, Ambrose and Didymus the Blind, mentioned this. A pool, water that was made for healing. This is what baptism is. It allows children and allows children and adults to be healed from their spiritual illnesses and go into and walk with Christ in a new life. Next. So, I'm going to talk about what baptism was in the early centuries, yeah? In the early church. Baptisms occurred three times in the year. Three times only. Today, you can call up the priest and be like, Father, I want to baptize so-and-so. And they're like, okay, take an appointment and then come on Saturday and have baptism. Come on Friday and have baptism. The only time you can't baptize nowadays is during Holy Week. That's the only time you can't baptize during Holy Week, okay? You can baptize any other day. So it was only done 3 days in a year. The night before Easter Sunday, and then you'll notice that on Easter, we actually have a big procession. This procession was for the baptized, not for the deacons. Yeah, I'm not sure, Eric, maybe you can help me in the Catholic tradition. What's it like? Even till today? Oh, okay, awesome. So is there only three times in the year? Or can you baptize, can the priest baptize any time?
For infants and that sort of thing, yeah. Anytime.
But for adults?
But for adults, it's usually during Easter.
And do you have these other ones as well, Epiphany and Pentecost or not?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. So the Catholic Church kept that tradition for the adults. But not for children anytime. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, cool. So here we have Epiphany because it represents the baptism of our Lord. And then Pentecost is the descent of the Holy Spirit, and which is what we pray in the baptism, in the prayer of the baptism, for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Do you guys do the chrismation after it as well? And so Coptic tradition. Next week you'll hear about the chrismation from, I think, Father Athanasius. He'll be doing it. So what would happen is, say, for example, Josh wanted to get baptized in the church, okay? Josh would go to the bishop, and this is in the early church, yeah? He would go for enrollment. So he would go, whoever wishes to give his name does so on the eve of Lent, and a priest notes down all their names. Josh would approach the bishop or the deacon, and he'll say, I need to be baptized. So he'll go the night before Lent starts, and he'll go and he'll put his name to the bishop, and the bishop will the bishop asks a few questions, which is the examination of the candidates. Yeah, the bishop will ask, does he lead a good life? Does he respect his parents? And is he given to drunkenness or to lying? And he does so, and the bishop asks this to his godfather, or I think godfather. The males had to have a godfather, and the females had to have a godmother. Okay? This was all before Lent, yeah? You have called your servants, and this is in the current rites of the baptism, okay? This is in the readings, in the actual prayer, sorry. You have called your servants by a holy blessed name. Write their names in the book of life and consider them with your people who revere you. So till today, if we don't understand history, the history of the church and of the prayers, sometimes we miss these things and we don't understand what they mean. This is to do with enrollment. Okay? Write their names in the book of life and consider them with your people who revere you. So in a spiritual sense, the bishop is actually taking down the names of candidates to write them into the book of life when they are baptized. Yeah. Again, let us ask God the Pantocrator, Creator, the Father of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, for your servants whose name was presented. This is the candidate. This is the enrollment. Yeah. And entered into the faith by your grace. Make them worthy to attain your grace for which they were brought forward. Till today, this prayer is still there. So we are still 2,000 years or let's say 1,800 years, we are still keeping these rites, these prayers into the church. Yeah? Nothing's changed. After that, after they're accepted, they're not baptized straight away. They're just given, their names are given to the priest or the bishop, and they take their names and they're accepted. And then we start this 40-day retreat. This 40-day retreat is the same as Lent, because they came the night before Lent started, right? 40 days. What are they going to do? They do, during this time, the catechumens are to attend, are to attend church every single day at the hour of prime, so early in the morning. Okay, what do? They go after theological teachings. Every morning, they go, and they go and get exercised. So they don't do exercise. They actually go and do. They are exercised. Exercises in, they cast out, because they believe. So in the early church, there were a lot of pagan worship, and so what they did is they exercised the demons of the idols out of them first before they enter the church. Okay. We actually have this right till today, this exorcism, like a small exorcism, because like to keep the traditions of the church. How nice is that? Like, I think it's awesome. Yeah. After the exorcism, every morning came the catechesis. Catechesis was the education part where the candidates learnt about the faith, but they weren't allowed to participate, or they weren't allowed to, number one, join in the in all the sacraments. They only attended half the liturgy, and then they had to go home. So they weren't allowed to actually attend the whole mass. They had to leave before the creed. Yeah. For the bishop and all those who are to be baptized sit in a circle around him, both men and women and their godfathers and godmothers, and also those who wish to hear, provided they are Christians. During these 40 days, the bishop goes through all scripture, beginning with Genesis, explaining first the literal and then the spiritual sense. And this is what is called catechesis. So they learn about the faith. They learn about scripture, and the bishop teaches them. And then after that, they have this thing called the denouncing the devil. Till today, we still have this. So so if it's an adult baptism, the adult does it himself or herself. And if it's a child baptism, the parents lift up their left hand and they face the west. And they read this after the priest. I renounce you, Satan, with all your impure works, all your evil soldiers, all your wickedness, all your power, all your despicable worship, all your deceiving and misleading trickery, all your armies and all your principalities, and the rest of your hypocrisy. I renounce you, I renounce you, I renounce you. The parents read that after the priest to renounce the devil. Okay? And then they look towards the east. So that was the west. And they look towards the east, lift up their right hand, and hold the child on their left hand. Or is it the other way around? No, I can't. I did it before, so I should know. Okay. The parents or the adult puts their right hand up and holds the child in their left hand, and they say and they profess the faith. I accept or confess you, O Christ my God, with all your holy commandments and your life-giving service and works. I believe, or we believe, in one God, God the Father, the Pontifical Creator, and his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our God, with the Holy Spirit, the life-giver, the resurrection of the body, and in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Okay? And in that time, the priest asks them, do you believe? And they say, we believe. Do you believe? We believe. Do you believe? We believe. And this is the denunciation of the wicked one, of the devil, and the accepting or the confession of faith. And this is what the people in the early church did as well. Okay, and then we go into the baptistry. So we still haven't been baptized then, yeah? There's still this 40-day period, just for those who came late. So there's an enrollment, okay? Then they examine the candidates of people who wanted to be baptized, and then they spend 40 days learning about the faith, about the church and the bishop. They go to church every single morning, and then they denounce the devil, they profess the faith, and then they go into the baptistry. These ceremonies take place outside. So we actually says, "Oh, Kat, can you open up the back? I don't know if you can do that, but." So normally what we just explained is we actually do it like where the carpet is. So we actually stand on the carpet and do all of these things, yeah? And then after that, the child is presented into the baptistry. And then the child is presented, or the adult is presented into the baptistry, yeah? If you guys want to like maybe turn around or come around here. Okay, is present, like, so all of these prayers are done out here, right? And then they are presented into the baptistry here. There's no water, which is good. Okay, and then so we've got two types of baptistries here. One for children, and then this big one here is actually for adults, yeah? And we've used both of them. And so they enter into the baptistry, the entrance into the baptistry marked the beginning of the immediate preparation for baptism and included two preliminary rites. So this here, I'm not sure if no one's ever been through this, only a few people because they've been baptized. So this is actually a door into, and it leads into that. Okay. Yeah. So they go into this door thing, or the child is like pretty much stripped off and obviously is not wearing anything. For adults, they normally wear like a white tunic, okay? And then they lay their clothes aside, and this laying their clothes aside is actually very symbolic, and it's got a really nice meaning to it. It reminds them that they're leaving their past behind, especially for adults. Even for children as well, it reminds them that they're leaving the original sin. They're leaving things behind, and they don't wear those clothes again, and then they go into the baptistry. And then they are anointed with oil, so we actually have anointing like before and after. We anoint them with simple oil beforehand, and then we anoint them with holy chrismation or myrun oil afterwards. And Athanasius will talk about that next week. And then they are immersed three times in the baptistry in the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And then they are presented back to their parents or to their godparents or just the... So, Bish, do you want to come help me out? If you guys want to come closer, and I'll show you something really, like, it's actually really nice and it's symbolic as well. So Bish will give me the child. It's normally they let the mother do it, not really the father. I don't know why. It's probably a responsibility more for the mother to do that. I think so.
I think the father did it, the baby would cry.
Probably, yeah. So they take the child from the mother from the left side, and then the priest asks the mother or the father to receive the child on the right side. So pay attention closely, like next baptism that you attend, pay attention to this nice movement there, yeah? Is as if the godmother or the godfather or the parents are saying, we are accepting that our child or our godchild, like whatever, is going from darkness is leaving the darkness, and I am presenting them to the priest to be baptized, to God to be baptized from the darkness, and receiving them into the light. All of these things, like, it's really nice when you, you know, when you understand it that way, yeah? And then the priest will baptize three times and then give it to the mother, father, godparents. As an adult, normally they would come in kind of, it'll be hard to do it, but I think it's just for, maybe this rite is just for children, I think. Because they normally they'll come in from there, be baptized, and then leave as well. So they're kind of leaving from the right side.
Does that have to change?
Hey? They change and then they leave, obviously, yeah. Yeah. Huh?
Storage space.
It's, I know, yeah, but like they can still go through. Yeah. Okay?
A female male or is it both sides?
Hey?
Is it open both
sides? No, it's just one side. Just one side, yeah. Just one side, okay? And then after that, they are immersed three times in the, and then received on the right side of the priest or of the baptistry. Okay? Nice, huh? Nothing, you didn't know this? Oh, yeah. All right. Come back and sit. And then normally they're changed. I think they just changed. Into them. What's it like in the Catholic Church, Eric? Similar or?
So we don't do immersion.
Yeah, sprinkling. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
In your traditional Catholic Church, it's more detailed. We do the same thing, professing the faith.
Yeah. It just shows that it's universal. Yeah. Like, it's apostolic. Like, we do the same thing. Yeah, it's nice. So, Cyril of Jerusalem says this about laying the clothes aside. He is stripped of their clothing, as Cyril, as soon as you entered, you took off your tunic. And then, anointing with oil, Cyril says, stripped off your garments, you were anointed with oil that had been exorcised from the top of your head to your feet. And you were made partakers in the true olive tree, which is Jesus Christ. The oil has gained the power not only to purify you from the vestiges of sin by consuming them, but also put to flight all the invisible powers of the evil one. When they're immersed in water, not the right time. And then they're baptized in water and then called upon the Holy Spirit to come and bestow upon the baptized. Okay. And then the white clothing, so they actually wear white clothing afterwards. Afterwards. St. Ambrose says, after baptism, you have received white garments that they may be the sign that you have taken off the clothing of sin, that you have been clad in pure garments of innocence. As we said before, we take off the... Not necessarily. Like for kids or for adults?
Adults.
Not necessarily. Like just after the baptism, after you go home, it's fine. After your church, it's fine, yeah. Normally for kids, we change them after. Like, you know, it's not a big deal. Also, the white garment represents the garment of salvation. The garment that you will present to Christ with on Judgment Day. Has that garment been stained with sin? Or have you repented and washed? And the priest has washed away that garment so you can present the best. Christ will say, show me your garment. You'll say, there it is. And is it stained with sin? Okay. That's your... up to each one. Infant baptism has been probably a very since the early church fathers, so from 200 AD, has been very controversial. Not sure if it was controversial in the Catholic Church as well. Like, did they say, has there been any arguments against it, infant baptism?
No.
Yeah. So I think, so, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but some of the Protestants have had issues with it, I think, because they said that you need to be a little bit older to understand the faith before you.
Some Protestants, yeah.
So in the early church, Tertullian was the only one that had an issue with it, and he said pretty much the same thing, that they actually need to be, he says in 220 AD, let them come when they are growing up, when they are of an age to be instructed. But all of majority of the early church fathers, we can see here, Irenaeus, 202, Hippolytus, Origen, Cyprian, Augustine, all agreed. He came to save all persons by means of himself. All, I say, who through him are born again to God. Infants, children, boys, youths, and old men. And this is, I think it's Augustine, but I'll double check. Okay? And Tertullian was the only one. Biblically, from the Bible, nothing speaks against infant baptism. Like, there's no verse that says children are not to be baptized until a specific age. Like, but there are verses indirectly supporting infant baptism. For example, His Holiness Pope Shenouda III answered with these verses: "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is of the kingdom of heaven. And go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." In the Old Testament and the New Testament, circumcision was a sign of baptism. And who were circumcised and at what age? Does anyone know? Boys were circumcised, obviously. Yeah. And at what age?
Well, today in Jewish tradition, it's 13 years old.
In the Old Testament, in early century Jerusalem. It was 8 days after they were born. Yeah. Now you can do it after birth by like 3-4 days.
Yeah.
But not as Jewish people, but like, yeah, as for a health thing. Like, yeah. So 8 days after, are they not children? Are they not like babies still? Yeah. Okay. So they were able. So circumcision for us is a type of baptism, one of the typologies. And that's more of a supporting evidence for us as well. Christ himself was circumcised after 8 days. We actually celebrate the Feast of Circumcision 8 days after the Nativity. Okay? In the book of Acts, I've got references here. It shows that there was a soldier, like one of the, I think, Roman soldiers, who called for Peter, I think. And Peter came and baptized the whole household. And it specifically says, including children and like family, including the children. So they were baptized. Children were baptized, yeah? Why baptism? Okay, we talk about the rites a little bit. We talk about like history. But why baptism? Baptism requires us to participate or allows us to participate in the Lord's death and resurrection. We read earlier in Romans, "Do you not know that as many as of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him." So it's a way of life, a way that we live with Christ, we walk with him. "We died with him, buried with him, been united together in the likeness of his death. Our old man was crucified with him." St. Ambrose said, "You were questioned, 'Do you believe in Jesus Christ and his cross?' You said, 'I believe,' and you were plunged into the water. This is why you were buried with Christ, for the man who is buried with Christ rises with him." Baptism also gives us forgiveness of sins, which is what we really need. This is what we pray for all the time in liturgy. Grant us the forgiveness of our sins. This body and blood gives us eternal life and remission of sins. "And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Bible, Acts chapter 22. "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God." 1 Corinthians. And Acts chapter 2. "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Very clear. Baptized grants us forgiveness of sins. Easy. Baptism also allows us to be a part of the church, members of the church. Colossians chapter 2, "In him you are also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." There is no doubt, and we mentioned before about the circumcision, is an Old Testament type of baptism. It is known that in circumcision, a part of the body dies, is cut off and dies, and refers to complete death in baptism. Some of our modern church fathers speak about baptism. Habib Gerges says in one of his books, in his book on the seven mysteries, the graces received in baptism include new spiritual creation, forgiveness of sins, adoption as God's sons, and inheritance of eternal life. Baptism is a permanent sign and a fixed seal for the soul by which we share in the death and resurrection of Christ. Pope Schnuder, of blessed memory, says the words of our Lord Jesus Christ are very clear. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. The Lord did not say, he who believes is saved, but he put the condition of baptism alongside the condition of belief, as a blessed memory of Pope Schnuder explained the importance of baptism of salvation. His Grace Bishop Gregorius, of blessed memory as well, said, we attain a number of things through baptism, forgiveness of sins, a new nature, a seal, a new birth, illumination, and eternal life. Summary of everything, you know, of all, really all the sacraments, not just baptism. Yeah. In the sacrament of baptism, we attain the rebirth, not of our own merit, nor by human hand, but by the Holy Spirit himself. We also receive God adoption, attain the remission of sins, and sanctification. In baptism, the believer is transferred from being belonged to Satan through subjection to his works, to receiving God's adoption and being his own. And I put there some references. If anyone would like to go back to some references, this presentation is on the website as well. If you guys saw the website link. Does anyone have any questions? I've got a